Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoff, and we're talking about nicotinamide riboside. The product is True Niagen. We're talking to co-founder of Chromadex, the company that makes True Niagen, Frank Jax Jr., and he is now executive chairman of the board, overseeing research strategy and operations for the company. And he has broad familiarity with this product. He was one of the first to identify its potential and then go through the process of developing it and marketing it, and also helping to support research. So let's talk a little bit about some of the applications of this and what some of the studies are saying.
The research is, and I'll just allude back to the studies, you know, that collaborative studies we've been working on, which, you know, exceeds 150 today. But the one thing is sort of the common thread is that it's a fairly well accepted fact at this point, at least in definitely in the research community. And we're still building that awareness around nicotinamide riboside, under our brand True Niagen and now True Niagen Pro, which is a new, product that's being sold through the practitioner channel.
By the way, can you help us distinguish among the two? Because, you know, there may be some confusion because there's two dosages, True Niagen, it's the regular product, and then there's True Niagen Pro. And can you distinguish among those?
So both of them are Niagen nicotinamide riboside products. The traditional formula was 125 milligrams per capsule. For, you know, a recommended dose of 250 milligrams a day. And the new Pro, has basically, put 300 milligrams of Niagen into a single capsule.
And that's the highest dose ever made available, I think, on the consumer market.
We made that for the practitioner or the professional market, so that they had access to or have the ability to, you know, essentially, work with their patients and then, you know, elect on what dose they want to choose and have the ability to get some certain people into higher doses. I mean, as an example, I take the Pro now that it's available. And, you know, I currently take two of those a day. So I'm taking 600 milligrams of nicotinamide riboside a day.
Great minds think alike. That's precisely what I take.
Glad to hear that.
Yep, we're hedging our bets against the aging process, hopefully successfully. So you're coming back to the discussion in terms of the research. Go ahead, please.
So the 150 studies, like I was saying, many of these researchers want access to nicotinamide riboside so that they can increase NAD in whatever area of research they're looking for. And they want to see that by raising NAD, what potential effect can it have on something specific that they're looking at. And so all of the research, the good news is that all of them, there's not a high degree of overlap. There's a little bit of overlap here or there, but the preclinical research is looking at a wide range of what I'll call the hallmarks of aging, if you will. Mm-hmm. And there's now a couple, I would say 8 or 9 core focus areas within the hallmarks of aging that are being investigated. And a lot of the researchers out there are looking at some of those spaces, like mitochondrial dysfunction is an example, the effect that nicotinamide riboside or NAD has on stem cells, the cellular senescence is another area, DNA damage or protecting against DNA damage, those just to name a few of those. And then there's quite a few that are researchers where they're looking at some specific impact on raising NAD levels to affect the progression of or some very specific disease or condition. Mm-hmm. So there's quite a bit of interest out there right now, covering a lot of different topics. And a lot of it's preclinical, but some of it has moved to the clinic as well, and some of those have now completed as well.
Yeah, I would imagine there'd be quite a lot of interest in neurodegenerative diseases because the brain is the hungriest organ of the body in terms of its energy demands. And there's now the belief that many neurodegenerative diseases are actually mitochondrial diseases, that they involve a slowing of energy production in certain critical areas of the brain, whether it be dementia, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, hearing loss, which also is, you know, it's a high energy situation where the receptors, the neurons that translate vibrational impulses into electrical energy within the brain that then gets processed into hearing. These are ripe areas for research.
That's exactly right. And that whole neurodegeneration segment is a very large area of focus right now in the research community. And, you know, we of course, as a dietary supplement company, have to work within the bounds of the fact that we are, we cannot, you know, promote a product for really treatment or prevention of anything, especially related to diseases or conditions. But in this case, I think we have a fairly unique story. You mentioned, you know, the ingredient of the decade, and, you know, I think it's going to be the ingredient of the century for the very reason of the fact that we don't have to necessarily get into diseases or conditions here related to this whole nicotinamide riboside, or using a product like True Niagen to raise NAD, and then the effects or the improvement that you're going to get. Because essentially, a lot of these things are, so if you take a neurodegenerative disease of some kind, like Alzheimer's as an example, you know, we're not necessarily targeting, you know, the prevention or treatment of Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like that. What we're really looking at is that, look, certain conditions like that cause depletion of nutrients, specific nutrients in this case cause problems with NAD. Mm-hmm. So all we're really doing is repairing or increasing the supply of NAD through a highly effective precursor, nicotinamide riboside, to at least help fix that portion of the problem. Mm-hmm. And what the research is showing is that the decline of NAD or the depletion of NAD is linked to numerous stories that are very similar to that.
Well, you know, we're very wary of the term panacea because, you know, we're talking about molecular medicine these days and laser-like targeting of disease pathways. But when you kind of get in there at the choke point that is so essential for many metabolic processes, as with energy production of the mitochondria, I really think you can stake a claim to a wide-ranging array of effects and benefits. So that's the appeal.
That's exactly right. And we don't, you know, you don't want it to sound like it's like a cure-all. And in fact, it's not that. I mean, in reality, nicotinamide riboside does one thing extraordinarily well, and that is it raises NAD, and NAD happens to be one of the most mission critical compounds associated with cellular health, cellular energy metabolism, and, you know, numerous other functions, and that's essentially what we have here. And I think the other major benefit we have is that mechanistically, this is what attracted me to nicotinamide riboside more than 10 years ago, is that mechanistically we have a pretty good understanding of how nicotinamide riboside works, what it does, and why it works the way that it does. And that we can thank Charlie Brenner for. Something I think Dr. Brenner should get the Nobel Prize for at some point in his career is identifying that NRK path for utilizing nicotinamide riboside to increase NAD.
Somebody just won the Nobel Prize. I think it was at the age of 96. So there's sometimes a late acknowledgement of achievement in the Nobel Prize arena.
That is true. And I think, you know, success of nicotinamide riboside as a product will, you know, build momentum in making that a possibility for Dr. Brenner. And but, you know, in certain cases, for certain drugs, they don't necessarily understand mechanistically exactly how they work. And in this case, for a nutraceutical or a dietary supplement product, it's pretty incredible that we have a pretty firm understanding of how this thing works and why it does what it does.
Let's, Let's dispel any concerns about side effects or potential problems associated with this, because obviously part of the initial research is to not even establish the benefits, but to establish the safety, the feasibility of giving it without causing side effects. What's the safety record, and what are any potential interactions with drugs, or is it a blood thinner, any of those possibilities?
Well, so I'll go through a couple things. First off, ChromaDex has done all of the safety work necessary to file an application with the FDA. And we have a rare, you know, what I would call a rare circumstance where we have what's called a new dietary ingredient or mm-hmm. new dietary ingredient status for Niagen.
By the way, that's notification. That's a very big deal. That's a very costly and arduous process. So kudos to you for undertaking it. It actually would sink a lot of other companies if they were required to do that for all their products.
That's correct. And, you know, not only do we have one, we now have two. So earlier this year, we received our second NDI on nicotinamide riboside. And we also have notification of GRAS, or generally recognized as safe status, from the FDA as well. So that's one component of that story. The second component is the completed clinical studies. So the completed clinical studies to date have shown that Niagen or True Niagen in our consumer product is in fact incredibly safe product, and you know, we're happy that all the studies that have been coming out and continue to come out support that in human studies.
Could it have potentially a caffeine-like effect? Because that's a concern. You know, things that rev you up have, you know, sort of an amphetamine-like effect, can cause jitteriness or anxiety, insomnia. Is it that kind of thing, or is it sort of a subtle energy boost that's not jagged and disconcerting?
So it's not caffeine is a stimulant by nature, and this is not a stimulant, so they are completely different. There's completely different chemical structures, and they're completely different in their mechanism of action. But I'll explain it in a little less technical way, is that it's a big thing for me. I travel a lot, and you know, for those out there that travel a lot or subjected to sleep deprivation, or you have put to pull all nighters, or you have impact on sleep patterns in some way, something that I personally use it all the time for. But and for all of you that have been jet lagged before, mm-hmm. You get off the plane, you know, I immediately will run for a cup of coffee, and you'll get that stimulant boost that you're talking about. But the interesting effect of that is that even though you sort of get that pick me up and you get the stimulation, you still have the underlying groggy effect. Mm-hmm. And the underlying grogginess is still there. If you take nicotinamide riboside, it's going to impact the second half of the equation there, which is essentially caused by an upset in circadian rhythm. So it's a completely mm-hmm. different type of energy.
Yeah, I mean, coffee is the kind of thing which leaves you tired but wired. You know, it's sort of an artificial superimposed energy boost that's temporary.
Exactly. And you take both. For me, I mean, I'm a coffee drinker and a Niagen consumer in the morning. And, you know, it's on both cylinders there.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of, you know, we talked about disease states, you know, potential applications for illnesses. What about any research ongoing looking at subjective well-being or athletic performance? Because that would be a concern for many of our listeners, that there's actually established research that suggests a true change in energy levels.
I mean, our primary focus has really been more around the impact on age or conditions or disease associated with aging. And, you know, I would say that the research moving forward is still heavily focused in that category. So there's not a lot of focus in the what I'll call athletic performance or sports nutrition type category yet. But it's a very interesting story there, because if you think about the core of, you know, an athlete in terms of the potential issues that you have, if you have an endurance athlete, so you look at endurance and you look at recovery. And endurance itself is actually linked to the NAD-ATP story. And most athletes that have pushed themselves will understand this, is that NAD supply controls production of ATP. And when you run low on NAD, it triggers an alternative path to production of ATP through NAD. And it's a much less efficient mechanism of utilizing NAD to produce ATP. And that's the difference between aerobic and anaerobic respiration. Anaerobic respiration is the less efficient way of utilizing NAD to produce ATP. And it also kicks off lots of lactic acid.
Muscle soreness, yeah.
Exactly. So it's definitely a part of the story, but it hasn't been one that we've been entirely focused on yet. But we know for those of us at the company and others that we've heard from anecdotally, that there definitely is an impact on both, I would call it, performance, endurance, and recovery.
Well, I will tell you anecdotally that around 60 and change, I started hit the skids a little bit in terms of my triathlon performance. I had to skip a couple of events, and then I came upon nicotinamide riboside and began taking it. And I got to say, you know, I'm not performing as well as I did when I was in my 50s, but I managed to complete a couple of triathlons in good form with, I think, the help of nicotinamide riboside. And it makes sense because if you look at the New York Times today, there's an article it's actually very interesting. It's a mathematical equation that predicts how rapidly your athletic performance will decline from age 40. And what they used age 40 as kind of a reference point is that maybe people who do long distance running kind of max out at 40. And then there's an inexorable decline usually. I mean, yeah, you can sort of train through it, but ultimately, by the time you're, 70 or 80, you're going to decline. And the whole theory is that it's the mitochondria. The mitochondria just simply can't keep up with the energy output that's necessary to replicate those times that you had when you were younger. So it's very plausible that mitochondrial support can, maybe extend your athletic career a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that, that's the story of sort of NR and NAD as a whole. And, I like to look at things as metabolic age versus chronological age. And metabolic age, I think, is going to be where the area of focus is. And one of the central themes to that story is going to be NAD. And there's been some great published research. The Dunedin study was a great one, basically showing 1,000 people that were in New Zealand that were effectively all the same age, and then they measured in metabolic parameters for those same people, and they showed that metabolic age from people that were effectively the same age can vary fairly. There's a pretty wide variation there, and the way to, if you want to look at this concept of aging better. The way to really look at it is from a metabolic age standpoint, and managing those mission critical metabolic markers that have an impact on the way that you age. And, I think nicotinamide riboside and a product like True Niagen as a means of essentially raising NAD, which is going to be one of those mission critical metabolism aging related biomarkers. And that's what I think the future is that you have here one story where you're going to have one of those, probably the most important metabolite associated with healthy aging is NAD supply.
Mm-hmm. Any implication for inflammation? Is inflammation part of the story of some of the compounds that are in the pathway that NAD influences?
So NAD is a big part of that, a big part of the inflammation story. A lot of the oxidative stress related damage that's caused by life, your lifestyle choices, whether you're young or old, will have an impact on reactive oxygen species and oxidative stress. And there's a link between controlling that NAD supply and inflammation.
Indeed. Well, Are there any other areas that you want to touch upon? You know, I know there's a lot of ongoing research, and I think it's appropriate that we maybe bring you back at various intervals as some of these studies get completed to share with us the results. Where can people get more information about True Niagen? And also, I think there's a nice, there's a sort of user-friendly website that kind of summarizes the basic research and tells people where things are at with this.
Right. So the True Niagen website is fairly simple. It's www.TRUNiagen.com. So TRUNiagen.com. And there's also another website from an informational standpoint about a repository of information about nicotinamide riboside and the NAD story at aboutnad.com.
Okay. And where could people get a hold of it? Now, you say it's available only through health professionals, or is there a consumer market for this?
So right now it's available through healthcare practitioners. So it can be found through that. There's information about the practitioner channel on the TRUNiagen.com website. Mm-hmm. And currently the product is only available on our website and Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Also via, it's now carried through my dispensary as a health professional, full script, I'm very happy to say, because, you know, otherwise it's kind of like people order their supplements through full script and they have to find another place where they can get True Niagen. They can get it there now. So that's great.
Yeah, exactly. We recently announced, our collaboration associated with the guys over at Full Script, and which now makes it available through yourself as well.
Indeed.
Or an easy way of getting it through that mechanism.
Great. All right. Well, keep us posted, Frank, because I know the developments are coming fast and furious. I see the press releases every few weeks. There's a new exciting breakthrough on the True Niagen front. And congratulations. I mean, you're really onto something. And I know that this has been a real labor of love for you to bring this product to market and to get the word out and make it available to the public. So congratulations again.
Thank you. And we'll definitely keep you posted. And you're right. There's new research that's publishing or coming out on a fairly regular basis. And we'll do our best to keep you updated there.
And I will pass it along to my avid Intelligent Medicine listeners. They're very, very taken with this new supplement. So thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me today.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.